Hey, good morning. We're going to talk about the festival today. We have some visitors here. To just warn you, we had our annual Festival of Hope out on the lawn yesterday, and so we always like to take some time to kind of debrief from that, and then Zeke's going to share some of his testimony and message about hope personally in his life. But I just wanted to add to a little bit about the Nicaragua situation. You know, Nicaragua is basically become a communist state. And, you know, they voted this guy in, and he's basically a communist, and now he's shut down at least 1,500 churches here just in the last few weeks. And they have not yet shut down Calvary Chapel, Nueva Guinea, but it's very tense, a very, you know, situation that's very, you know, developing and very real. And, you know, it makes me wonder about sometimes about our country, kind of the direction, and I don't get political very often, but heading towards this idea of communism and socialism, what could happen. And I talked about this last week about the situation for churches in our country is not guaranteed, though it is guaranteed in the Constitution. We don't always follow the Constitution. I use that term "we" loosely. So please pray for them. I got an email from Greg, and they're holding up okay, but now they have to bring all this documentation down to Managua like every month now, and it's just like it's a mess. It's really a mess. So I don't know if what they're going to shut down, and then not only do they shut them down, but they take their property away as well. So they've been down there for many, many, many years. Many of you have been down there, gone down there to be part of that. So anyways, Festival of Hope. You know, hope is this confident expectation, right? It's not as the flyer that we pass out and Justin put together. It's not some kind of wishful thinking. Hope, and Chris sang about it today, it's this within our soul. I have this hope within my soul, and it's a hope of what God is going to do, right? It's this confident expectation of what God is going to do, what he has promised in his word for you and I, those of us that trust in him. And so, you know, we have this celebration. It's a festival, but it's a celebration of hope. Why do we do this out here? Why do we do this? And I was thinking about this. You know, we went to the Washington County Fair a week ago or so, and you know what? It's a nice little fair, but it's expensive, and there's not much there. And you end up getting, you know, you end up going in there spending like $40 a person, some crazy amount like that, and so, you know, when I was seeing the folks come here yesterday, and I'm seeing, you know, groups of people walk down the street from where they live, and I'm thinking, you know what, we're doing something that they probably could not afford to do, like go to the Washington County Fair, but we're doing it right here, and it's all free, and it's free. Why? Because of the grace of God is free, because, you know, the love that Jesus gave to us is free. We don't pay for that. We don't earn our salvation. It's given to us as a gift, completely and totally free. And Jesus paid the price. He said, it's finished. He did it all. He opened the way for you and me to go to heaven forever and ever. And that's the hope that you and I have. It's not wishful thinking, well, maybe I'm going to go to heaven. No, it's a confident expectation. That's the way the Bible uses that word hope, that one day you and I are going to see him face to face. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. We see now through a glass, a kind of a image that isn't clear, but one day we're going to see face to face. It's going to be clear. I mentioned last week, you know, we're on this little three-part series, faith. We talked about faith last week, hope this week, and we're going to talk about love next week. And it's found in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. So I have this hope, and I hope, wait, let me say that again. And I want you to have that hope too, that that before we even talk about what happened yesterday, it is this message that you have the hope of eternal life. You have this confident expectation of eternal life, that your future is secure. And how do you have that? You have it through trusting in Jesus Christ. Like Justin gave an awesome message yesterday. And you know what? It was a simple message that to put your trust in Jesus Christ, and that is what will get you heaven. Not paying money, not going to church, not doing anything, but putting your trust in Jesus. And I have to tell you, the highlight for me for yesterday was during the prayer when Justin was saying that prayer, and I heard people, many, many people repeating that prayer. Did you, those of you that were nearby, did you hear that? That's only happened to me once before, and I think on a mission trip somewhere. And you know what? Now, some of those people are believers. I get that. I understand that. But some were not. And how many of those people that were praying that prayer were affected for eternity? That's awesome. That's incredible. So I want you to have that hope as well. And it's a simple thing. It's a prayer. It's an attitude of your heart that you trust Jesus as your Savior. That you can't save yourself. Sin and death and hell, as we heard yesterday, are that's what we have. That's what's ours already. But Jesus came to pay the price for sin and death and hell, and all we have to do is receive it. That's the simple gospel truth. So I want you to know that you have that. And you can pray, and I want to take a minute right now to pray, and you can pray in your heart right now with me, and know that Jesus loves you and that he has accepted you and you have eternal life. Can I get any more simple or clear than that? Let's pray. Let's pray now, and then we're gonna share testimony. Father in heaven, we thank you for all you've done, and I thank you, and I pray right now for our friends in Nicaragua. Protect them, Lord. Guide them. I pray for West Bay this morning, Lord, that you would bless them, protect them, and as they complete and fulfill the mission you've given them. But I pray right now for any that might be watching, that might be here listening, that if you need Jesus to save your soul and give you eternal life, you pray right now with me in your heart, trusting and because you believe it, because you mean it, that you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sin, that he was buried and that he rose from the dead. And you can pray with me right now. Dear Jesus, I open my heart to you. And I receive you, and I believe in you here today, right now. Please save me. Please come into my life. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, yesterday was an incredible, I think it was the best festival we ever had, honestly. I think it was the most people we ever had at one time. And, you know, you could see it in different ways. We ran out of a lot of stuff, and we had parking problems, and we had all kinds of stuff. But it was just absolutely incredible. So I want to open it up now for testimonies, and this is what we like to do. So I'm going to bring the mic around to you. Please don't go on for 15 minutes. We don't have that much time today. So who would like to be first? It's always the breaking of the ice. Norman is going to go first. Look at that. Norman, let me just say, Norman and Lisa were in the prayer tent, which is kind of like heartbeat central.
Good morning. So over at the prayer tent, it was super busy, as it was all over. And what made this year especially different than years past is, in most years, the prayer requests start off kind of as a trickle. You know, they start off very slowly. It seems like they don't really build till later in the day. And then especially like after the puppet show and whatnot, usually it is a, you know, a lot more people coming forward. And this year it started from minute one. You know, people were coming right away. Now, one of the things that means though is there's a lot of hurting people around us. And, you know, we heard stories of people struggling with housing, health, jobs, family members, and sometimes their own internal struggles. And, you know, they're reaching out, but they all had the same request. They all said, can we pray for hope and healing? And, you know, we're happy to do that. And, you know, we're very happy to share the confident expectation of the Lord and pray for the healing. And we took a lot of notes and we got a lot of follow-ups, and Justin has all the papers on that. And I think family prayer will be really busy in September. You know, if there's a way to really cap off a wonderful day, it was really late in the afternoon, and these two gals came over, and, you know, they're telling us their story and whatnot. And then one of them blurts out and says, well, you know, we're not really even supposed to be here. We were driving from Providence. We took a wrong turn. We ended up in front of your parking lot, and we said, let's go in. So they came. They told us this story, and, you know, we prayed with them and whatnot. And all I could think of is in Proverbs 16:9, right, where it says, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, you set your direction and the Lord will establish the steps. Well, those steps led right to a whole festival of hope. Okay? Amen.
A greeter. So I had a couple of ladies leave, and just to follow up, because it goes along with you, what you said, and I said, did you have a good time? She goes, oh, I'm so thankful I came. And one of the girls goes, I went to the prayer tent, and I was prayed for, and I came in with a lot of anxiety, and I'm leaving with something in my heart, like real. And I went, well, that's Jesus probably, you know, or hope. But she had hope when she was leaving, and her anxiety levels were way low, she told me specifically. So praise God for prayer.
Who's next? Steve?
Good morning. So I was working in the fry food section, but I did this for my first year last year, and to do it again this year, the overwhelming thing for me was so many children. And so we want to get to the youth. We want to introduce Christ to the youth. We want to be able to love on the youth, because there's so many things that are happening in this world. So the adults and people that are, you know, trying to figure out housing and what they're going to do. Moving forward for their children, and the children, believe it or not, absorb that stress. And so a way that we can show Christ is to love on them. And so how we did that through food, but prayer and everything else was amazing. And I think every year so far I've been receiving that as being something that's just overwhelmingly beautiful, because I dealt with the same thing as a youth and not having that structure and that foundation. And so we're being able to give that to them. So it was beautiful to do that.
Awesome. I was sitting there too, and I was watching the people when they were praying, and I noticed them all. I noticed that also. They all repeated that prayer, and a lot of those people I did not know, and a lot of little kids. And you don't know, someday you're going to meet one of these kids, and they're going to tell you that they came to the Lord because of the word they heard at that festival. It's happened to me. Went to Chad Brown when I was a young girl with my church, and 25 years later, we didn't think any of them were listening. You know, we had songs and did things with them, but they were wild, and we didn't think they were listening. 25 years later, a pastor's wife came to my pastor and said, "You don't know me, but you came to Chad Brown and had Bible studies, and that seed was planted." I didn't get saved immediately, but that seed was there. And I'm serving the Lord today because of that. So I know, I have faith and I trust that you are going to see some of these kids someday, and they're going to come up to you in a store or somewhere, and they're going to say, maybe here, I was saved because of the seed that was planted.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I want to add one thing too. You know, some of you say, well, I didn't do anything, or I wasn't able to be there, or whatever. But, you know, this is the fruit of the whole church, you know, and through the support, you know, the money and the offerings that are given, that's what that makes this, you know, possible. So just know that that's why we share this, so you can know part of the fruit is this is yours, your fruit. Okay.
So I normally don't, I have a, what's that? Stand up. Okay. All right. So I normally have a job where I just talk to people. And this year, because of the parking situation, I had to go out and park everybody. And I'm going, oh, man, my knee's killing me. This is a bad idea. But God, He's got such a sense of humor. I'm out there and I realize instead of talking to this guy and that guy and that guy, I parked everybody. So everybody had to roll their window down. So then I told them where they could park, and I was the first person to say, you know, hello, welcome. And besides all of our people, there was a party right next door. Quite a big party, too, I must admit. And every single one of those I greeted. Oh, well, we're just driving through to go to this. Oh, well, if you don't have enough to eat there, come on back. So who knows how big it'll be next year.
I like that. Yeah. Okay. I like that. Here we go, Justin.
I don't know. I feel like, Steve, I want to come over here by you. All right, so I just want to say, first of all, I want to give a big thank you and shout out. You know, it's all for the glory of God, but I want to say, you know, Zeke did a really good job planning, getting things going. I really relied on him a lot this year because I had a lot going on this summer. And with that, I just want to say, with ministry, we're all here for a short window. This life is so short. So we need to multiply ourselves into others. We need to be discipled, and we need to be discipling others. So I really wanted to see Zeke step up in that role, leadership, and he did. And it's encouraging because, you know, take a step out in faith. The things you do for the Lord, be training others to do those things. So training is really important because a lot of us are getting older, right? The statistics on getting older are pretty clear. So let's multiply ourselves and others. And also, is on the Nicaragua subject, I've been to Nicaragua, and I remember going into the public schools and sharing the gospel. So a lot's changed since then. And we have this window of opportunity and time to share the gospel with kids, the Narragansett Wall, in our lives, in our work. So we need to take advantage of that window because that could close rapidly. We don't know, just like in Nicaragua. So I really feel that, you know, let's keep this momentum going. Let's keep praying for the lost. Let's keep looking for those opportunities. If it's the Festival of Hope, great. If it's a harvest party, great. Maybe it's something we haven't thought of yet. And, you know, pray. That vision that you have or that burden, you know, pray. Seek brothers and sisters that might support that vision, and then multiply yourselves and others, because this window is closing, either because I'm getting older or because, you know, our communities are changing, the times are changing. So let's pray. Let's keep that momentum going. But I just want to say thank you. I know a lot of you maybe you were suffering physically, but you kept going, struggling for that good work and that good purpose. And I don't know, there's a lot of things I do in my life for myself, but this is one thing that we can say, hey, this is for the Lord. And we struggle through for a purpose and for his kingdom. So I want to just thank you all for being here. And those who couldn't, for your prayers, thank you, because it makes all the difference.
He thinks he's old. So I do the craft prize and face painting part of this thing. I don't do it personally, but I oversee it. And like Justin said about the young ones, I have one in particular, little Brianna, who she is like amazing. If I didn't have her, I could never get through this. She's Tommy's daughter. And she is just amazing. And so these young kids coming in and stepping up, and Abby, and you know, my face painters are all kind of young, but it's not even like they're like dedicated, like they're like committed to what they're doing. And they take in that face painting time, even they are taking opportunity to share the gospel with kids that come and ask for different things. And they take opportunity. We have the craft tent. We ran out of crafts, and I know some of you haven't been there, so you don't even have a idea of when we're talking about how many people this was. A lot of people. I only get a small percentage of even all the people over to where we are at. And we give away these tickets so that they're supposed to come and redeem things, you know. I gave away over 700 tickets. So that's a lot of tickets. That's a lot of kids coming to our area. That they have multiple tickets. So, you know, you can cut that in half as far as numbers probably, or even less. But that's still a lot of kids coming over just to our area. We buy food for about 500 people. We ran out. So, you know, trying to put that in a perspective of what was happening yesterday, there was a lot going on. But at different times during the day, I was having people come up to our prize tent. One person actually came up and she said, "This is like legit." And I'm like, well, yeah, it is legit. You know, they see what we have and what we offer, and I have this thing about I don't just give away junk. You know, we do school supplies. We do a lot of, I try purposely to get things that are, we don't just give away, you know, hot dogs. We have hamburgers, clam chowder, you know, corn. We have fries. We have all kinds of food, popcorn, snow cones, you know, all kinds of stuff that's going on. But a couple of people came up to me, and they didn't even want anything at the tent. They just wanted to say hi. Even kids that have been coming for years, and they just wanted to come up and say hi. Because they feel like we have a relationship. We see them once a year. We have a relationship. They were coming up and showing me pictures on their phones from 11 and 13 years ago. So they, you know, it's something that matters to them. They've been coming for a long time, and they like to make that connection. So, you know, just to say that if you haven't been and you haven't seen, I just kind of wanted to put that in perspective. This is a big deal to us, and a lot goes into it, and a lot comes out of it. I think there's more fruit than we even know. So, just that.
Amen. You know, there was a guy called Benny. Benny was here. Benny and the Jets. No. His name was Benny. And I said, "Benny." I didn't know his name, actually. I said, "Hey, you're here." And he works over at the transfer station across the road here. And, you know, we would take trash over there through the years, and told him we were with the church, and he'd help us out and give us breaks and, you know, just help us out in different ways. And he told me one of the times that he says, you know, you're from that church over there. He says, I was married in that church, like 1973 or something like that. And so he showed up here for the first time yesterday, and I said, you're here. And I didn't even know his name. Someone else told me later. And he said, yeah, you know, I always worked on Saturdays. He said, I'd get up high so I could look over and see what's going on over there. He said, but now he's retired. He still works there like, you know, one day a week or something. But he came, and, you know, that was just a blessing. You just don't know, you know. So we've got time for, like, just a couple more here, a couple more short ones here, and then I want to turn it over to Zeke. Zeke, you all mic'd up and ready to go?
Hi. I just want to say a couple of things. You know, there's no age limit. Anybody can come. But I think it's obvious that we minister specifically to children. And two things I noticed, kudos to the puppet show ministry. I'll tell you guys, that should be video, professionally videoed, and that is incredible. But one thing I noticed, there are people sitting, waiting, adults waiting for the show way before. Usually we have to call everybody over. But what I wanted to say is, you know, every week I cut the lawn, and I'm out here all by myself, and it's empty. And there's just a lot of weeds and stuff like that. This area up this end, I call the dead zone. It's when I get up there, it's like dead, and the grass doesn't grow that well up there, and there's a lot of weeds. But I was so amazed. I had to keep walking up to the end where Mark and all those people were with all these kids, and what I saw was life. And it made me realize how important life is, and especially for these kids, because we don't know what hope they have. We don't know where they come from. But to see God's lawn alive, and that we need to focus on people's lives and to give them that hope. And that's, we can do it individually, but together we reach a lot of people. And yesterday, I think there are a lot of seeds planted. And I saw people coming in, and people I didn't know, but they were sitting down, they're talking to people, and I just think life, we need to look at people's lives. But anyways, thanks.
Amen. Zeke, where are you? We're going to turn it over to Zeke here. He's going to share about hope and his life as well. And thank you, everyone, for being a part. What a blessing. What a blessing.
Hello. Oh, it's working. Okay, cool. So, one thing I'll share really quick is I just saw people, kids, randomly sitting in the field, like hanging out, playing, not even doing the games. It's like people are just so comfortable here now, and I think that's really cool. Relaxed, enjoying themselves. But let's say a quick prayer. Lord, thank you that you can minister to all of our lives and that you can minister to us by teaching so that we can learn and be equipped for situations when they arise for us. Thank you that you are here and that you are faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so to talk about hope, I must remind you of a time when I was hopeless. Most of my important moments happen internally, I would say. I don't have many exciting adventures except the adventures in my brain. For a long time, I struggled with intrusive or unwanted thoughts, thoughts that were not intentional but would haunt me, thoughts of wicked things. I think many people can relate to this in times of prayer when they're trying to focus on things of God, but they are quite focused on the exact opposite of the things of God. I learned many lessons through this time, though, that have been very helpful to me and bring glory to God, and that's kind of my idea of hope that I want to talk about, is how we can trust in God, that even in our wickedness, we have a hope of a righteousness from Christ. So I learned to read my Bible. I learned to read my Bible. As wicked thoughts flooded my brain, I had to flood my brain with righteous thoughts, and those are only found in the Bible. I often found myself singing, in fact, but it's a verse, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." We sing that song sometimes from Psalm 61:2. And I would open my Bible, and I learned to pray each time that God would teach me by His Spirit through the Word, that I would be able to grow and hold these things. I learned to love my Bible, even when I was reading about the tabernacle, things getting the knots, the way that the Merahites would carry the curtains and the Korahites would carry the showbread. These things are precious to me because compared to anything in this world, they're pure. They might not be the most exciting thing in this world, but that's not the way I should measure what I want to think about. It should be by what's pure and what's good and what's righteous. Every word of God is pure. Like silver refined seven times, it says in Proverbs. So that brings me to my next point, though. In comparison, as I realize these thoughts are coming to me, I realize I need to limit my intake of worldly content. And I'm not going to tell you what to watch exactly, but I think people in general don't push that hard on what they watch. They are not very careful about something that is affecting them. You know, if you think reading the Bible or reading good lessons, you know, helps you and teaches you, of course reading bad things is going to hurt you. You know, you might realize that that TV and all these media, social media, can be used for good, then you should realize that right now, most of the time, it's being used for evil. We live in a system that's controlled by the devil. The god of this world is the devil currently. He's the prince of the powers of the air, and he is influencing these things, and he's using them to influence you. So it says in Proverbs, "The words of the talebearer are like a tasty trifle. They go down into the inmost belly." Now, some say deep wounds. I don't know which translation is better. But I will say, though that's talking about gossip, it's true that worldly stuff influences us strongly. It does not just go away. It's been many times where a song or a scene is just glued to my mind and cannot be removed. So we need to be careful, especially, you know, you can be careful with your children, those of you who have children, to what they watch. The way to get to pornography and wickedness on the internet is quick. It's very quick. You could look up anything. And I don't care what sensor you have. I bet I could probably find a way on Safari to get there. There's not anything that will stop you because what this world produces is evil. It doesn't care. It pretends that it cares about discretion, but that's only its self-righteousness. It's not here with your best interests at heart. It's not selling you good things. So that's something that you have to fight if you want to fight intrusive thoughts, because I'm sure some of you have the same problem. And I learned to memorize. So to counter the things that would so easily stick from the world, I countered the things that weren't easy to stick, like Scripture. It takes a while, but if you're faithful and committed, you can memorize large chunks, and they're helpful to you. Every morning, I try to recite to myself Psalm 23 to remind myself of the Lord's faithful care. And whenever I get distracted or I'm thinking of things that I don't want to be, I try to remind myself of. I like to recite 1 Corinthians 10:29. It's actually 2 Chronicles 29, 10 through 15. See, it's hard to memorize, but I can tell you. But let me just tell you it, because it's always been beneficial to me. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and give strength to all. Therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days are on the earth are as a shadow and without hope. And you can all do that too. I know you don't think you can, but we live in a foreign land. We're foreigners and strangers. So it's important to remember that if you were lived your whole life in Japan, you'd eventually speak you have to speak Japanese. If you live this whole life in this world, not reminding yourself of the language that we'll speak above, you'll be sucked right in and you'll forget. So devote yourself to memorization, I exhort you. And as it says at the end, in this life we're without hope. Without God, we are without hope. And then I learned discipline, which I'm still learning, of course, but it's a very important topic of the Christian life that gets overlooked. It takes discipline. It takes self-denial. Taking up your cross and following him. It's not some kind of forcing of emotions. It's a commitment in your mind to be faithful to what is best for you. When I was really struggling, I used to read my Bible like 3 times a day just because I needed that sustenance so much. So we should all try to commit. You know, I've heard Ray Comfort say, if a good rule is no read, no feed. If you don't read your Bible in the morning, then don't eat breakfast. You know, it's more important to you. It's more nutritious for you. And Paul, he uses the analogies in Timothy of an athlete, a soldier, and a farmer. And all of those take diligence, but the Christian life takes more diligence. You know, an athlete only has to play the game. A farmer only needs to plant certain times of the year. And a soldier has a time of his deployment and he comes back. The Christian life is a constant discipline. It is a constant discipline. And that is something that we need to learn. So those are the lessons I learned regarding scripture from my intrusive thoughts. And then I learned to sing. Not to sing well. I'm not arguing that I'm a good singer. Yeah, if you hear me, you might beg to differ. So I'm just letting that be clear. But I learned to sing when I needed to. I read the book Hinds Feet on High Places. It's a pretty good book. I like it. It's the She-Ra to Pilgrim's Progress is He-Man. Pretty much the girl version of Pilgrim's Progress. And there's a chapter, the 12th chapter, where she's in a mist, and it's basically a representation of the monotony of the Christian life when it gets into a time. It was right after a storm, and she missed the storm. The protagonist's name is Much Afraid, our little Christian allegory here, and she was traveling with sorrow and suffering, her companions. You see the thinly veiled symbolism. and eventually her relatives, I have to write their names down, resentment, bitterness, and self-pity begin to mock her and discourage her and tell her that this cannot be the right way. You know, it's not going up the hill. It's not going to lead you. All the things that the shepherd said to her aren't true, and she keeps slipping and falling in the mud. But then she remembers a song that she learned in the storm that sorrow taught her, and she learns to sing. And eventually the shepherd appears, and all is well, and the fog clears. And that's a good lesson for me. That's why I asked Chris to play on Christ the Solid Rock. I used to always sing to myself, when darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. And that brings us back to our verse for the Festival of Hope. Our verse on the back of the t-shirts. So Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. And then it says, it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So we've all known this darkness. Our brothers have known this darkness, and they've left us songs so that we can sing and we can draw closer to God in times of hardship. You know, we're not the first people to experience this, so look to the hymnals and look to songs like Rich has written for us. We're so blessed by the songs written based on the Psalms. The Titus 2 one is really good, too. I love that one. So then I'll just close by talking about that. I have a quote, actually, from Spurgeon, stealing Patrick's thunder here.
So Spurgeon was the prince of preachers. He's a very well-known Christian, but he said that on this topic of intrusive thoughts, he said, "Friend, I know what you mean, for I have been hunted by this wolf. A man might as well hope to fight a swarm of flies with a sword as to master his own thoughts when they are set on by the devil. I do not wonder if you feel that you are without strength to stop these hideous and abominable thoughts which Satan pours into your soul. But yet I would remind you of the scripture, when we are without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." That's Romans 5:6. So I've learned that, you know, all intrusive thoughts are not the product of my own thinking. I need not live in a constant state of sorrow that whatever random thought pops into my head is now proof that my theology is broken and I actually don't believe the scriptures and I think of them as evil, wicked things. I don't have to believe that. Satan is active and he wants us, or his demons want us, to be focused on our own wickedness. But that's not what we're saved to. We're not saved to just to focus on ourselves and our wickedness. That's the first step. We have to see that we're evil and repent, even of the things we do accidentally, but then we can go to God. And that's where we get this idea of Jesus has entered the presence beyond the veil. In the tabernacle, of course, there was the holy place where the priest would make atonement in the sacrifices, but beyond that, there was the holy of holies, or the most holy place, where the Ark of the Covenant and the symbol of God's presence was. And the priest could only go once a year, but not without the shedding of blood. There would be a goat that was sacrificed for him, and the priest would have blood put on them as a symbol that the wages of sin is death. So animals would have to die for them then, and then they would be able to enter. But they had a rope tied to them because they were afraid that if they would go into the presence of God with some secret sin, that they would be dead, and they'd have to drag them out, because nobody could touch the ark with unclean hands. Because nobody can go into the presence of God with unclean hands. It says in the Psalms, "Who can enter your holy hill? Those with clean hands and a pure heart." But I'm here to tell you, none of you have clean hands and a pure heart. I think you should all know yourselves well enough to see that though you might measure up to your own desires, your own standards sometimes, you cannot hold yourself to God's standards. Can you imagine perfect righteousness? Being judged by every idle word, every unkind thing you said about somebody, and not with the benefit of, "Oh, it's been a long time since I've done that." God does not see it as a long time. The God who exists in eternity does not think, "Wow, 10 years ago you committed this sin. 10 years is nothing before me." You will be judged for that sin as if it had happened 3 minutes before, but Jesus is our great high priest. Jesus has entered in the presence behind the veil. It says that when Jesus died on the cross and said it was finished, the temple, the veil in the temple, which was still standing, was torn from top to bottom. He made a way for us to enter into the presence of God. And more than that, now we have a hope. We have an anchor in that presence. We can be held knowing that though we were never worthy to enter into the presence of God, Jesus, who lived the perfect life that we could not, was worthy to enter. And he has paid the penalty. He has sanctified us by our blood and is always making intercession for us. So that is the hope that we can have. Even when we have wicked thoughts, even when we're gripped by our own sinfulness, we can learn to trust in God, who is the anchor of our souls. So I'm going to pray now and just thank God for his wonders and what he's done for us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that this idea that you came in human flesh, that sometimes we only think about it Christmas time, but you came down, condescended. You became humbled as a human with limits and needs for us. We go for our needs so far to get what we want, but you went from having everything to having almost nothing, to growing as a poor person who would suffer. You took the hatred that we deserve from other men for the evil we do to them, and you took it your whole life, and especially on the cross, as they spat on you, as they slapped you and said, "Prophesy to us," as they so misjudged you. You know, we so often are so concerned with our appearance and how people think of us, but you took all of the hatred that we deserve from man upon yourself. And more than that, you took the wrath of God. You spoke the world into existence and hold it up, not even with any effort, just by the word of your power. But you showed your full, great, and awesome power when you poured out all of your wrath and you endured all of it, all of God's infinite holy judgment in the person of Christ, who was infinitely able to take it because he was infinitely good. That is the greatest display of all of your power throughout all time. So we have a hope in the cross. We have a hope in what it has done for us. The Spirit that is given to us because of Christ's sacrifice, Lord. We thank you for these wonderful things. And we hope we can meditate them all day long, because they are so good. And they are what gives us strength in the temptations of the enemy. When we want to be focused on our own weakness or our own greatness, you can take us away from these things by the Spirit you have given us. And we can be growing in you each day. We don't seek perfection for ourselves in this life, but we seek to be faithful to your covenant. We seek to be faithful and to keep the law of love, which is in Christ, that we would love our neighbors and that we would love you with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. And that we would not try to accomplish this by our own strength, but that we would seek you first in it. Thank you for all these things. We thank you that we can share them with others, Lord. And if anyone, again, didn't respond the first time that the gospel was presented, I'll present it to them again. Believe in Jesus Christ. Be saved and have the hope of heaven, both now and forever. Eternal life can start now. Sin will only bring death. It may bring you pleasure, but that pleasure is fleeting. Don't live your life for pleasure. It always fails you. But what will never fail you is the righteousness of Christ. And all you have to do is believe and trust in him. Reject your sins. Repent of them. And God is faithful to accept you. And you won't become perfect, because you'll never have to be, until he brings you into glory and makes you with him forever. He wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to live each day growing and knowing him more and relying on him. That's why we're here, Lord. So we thank you. And we pray everything that we did today will be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.